This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
Live on location and on stage at Jacoby Symphony Hall. This is a little intimidating, Christine, isn't it? We're on
stage. It's really exciting to be on stage. I didn't think it would be, but it is.
It is. Yeah, we're overlooking all the seats, and man, we can see the percussion. They're set up for a performance a little bit later this morning, and everything is set up for Sunday's Children's Music Festival. Mm-hmm. I've not yet gotten the text message back from my daughter, but we'll be here on Sunday because she loves the symphony and loves to play not only her trumpet with her symphonic band at her school, but also the piano, and loves all of the wind instruments as well. It's one of many great shows that's happening in the 75th season of the Jacksonville Symphony, and the president and CEO of the Jacksonville Symphony is Stephen Libman, and boy, what a season it has been so far. Has this exceeded your expectations so far?
Yes. We spent 2 years as a team planning this, and it has wildly exceeded our expectations, and we continue to do extremely well. Tickets are selling way beyond what we thought they would. Fundraising is very strong, and the response from the audience is just fantastic. We're very proud of what we've done so far.
The fundraising aspect, I know you all just set like a huge record recently. You want to tell that story?
Sure. We were the recent beneficiary of a very generous $15 million pledge from a anonymous donor. And it's wonderful that money will eventually go into our endowment fund. And we presently have $30 million in the fund, and that will add to it. But it's the largest gift the Jacksonville Symphony has received in its history. And it's great that it came in during our 75th. So we're pretty pleased with that.
While you may not be able to tell the whole story behind it, was there a motivation and love of music that kind of fueled that giving and that generosity?
Yes. I think everyone who supports the symphony, whether it's a $10 gift or a $15 million gift, attends because they have a deep love and passion for the Jacksonville Symphony. Some of them love our classical music, some love the jazz, some love pops, but they love the Jacksonville Symphony and the impact we have on the community, and that's true with this particular donor too. A great love of music and the power of music, and also the power of our music education programs.
What does the endowment ultimately help to fund and fuel going forward?
Sure. The endowment, similar to what universities have, the endowment funds our operations, but primarily musician salaries and all of the artistic innovation that we're working on, and our music education programs. We serve 75,000 students a year, half of those digitally, half of them in person. And of those 75,000, also half of them are Title I schools. They attend Title I schools. So all that money from the endowment, there's a spinoff from the endowment, funds those programs.
Just to put it into perspective, how much does it cost to run this operation on an annual basis?
$14 million to run it on an annual basis. We have 100 full-time employees. That includes 60 musicians, 40 full-time administrative and production team. And some of them are here with us today. There's Ray behind me. Mm. And Tori and Savannah, and 120 part-time employees, and another 120 vendors we work with. So we're a big machine, and we are the primary driver of economic activity downtown at night.
And on the music education side that you talked about, Sunday is such an exciting event. And Nathaniel was not just talking about the performance at 1 o'clock, but he's most excited about what happens after that.
Yes, at 6:30. Right. We have our JSYO, which is the Jacksonville Symphony Youth Orchestra. They will be performing. We're one of the few symphonies in the country with a school. So we have a little over 200 students, and there's a division of the JSYO that Nathaniel will lead. He's the music director for the Jacksonville Symphony Youth Orchestras, and he will be conducting a concert with our students that starts at 6:30 p.m. This weekend is just an example of how busy the 75th is. As you probably mentioned, we have Take Six on Saturday, which is the great gospel group, a cappella group, and then on Sunday we flip into this incredible children's music festival. So lots of stuff.
You mentioned the economic impact. How has attendance been?
Great. Attendance has been very, very strong. We are ahead of our goals, thanks to our incredible marketing team behind me. and the audience just loves it. We're ahead on subscriptions and ahead on single ticket sales. Tori gave a report at yesterday's board meeting. The number of new attendees is just astounding. So it's important in our business to get people to come back again, to commit again, so subscribers renew year over year and they commit to attending all the classical or all the pops. And then we have people who attend three or four concerts a year. And then there are our precious new friends who are attending for the very first time. And we're setting a record in terms of new attendees.
How are you making sure that that first impression that's made will turn into repeat impressions into the 76th season and beyond?
Great question. So first of all, the artistic product is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we create, as we say, transformational moments between the artist and the audience. So the art that we put on stage has to be top notch. Secondarily, our marketing team, they write notes, handwritten notes, to all new attendees. They get a special note. Thank you for attending. Here's some information about future performances that are coming up. We hope that you will join us. And that combination leads to repeat attendance, which the attrition rate, individuals who choose not to come back, is pretty low, actually. We do a really good job. Once they come in and you feel the symphony love, we think you're hooked. Mm.
That's really nice. I mean, I think if I were to get a letter like that, I would A, save it, but B, that engenders loyalty.
You're getting a letter right now. Absolutely. We're going to make sure that happens. Yes.
Well, we're talking about it a lot, the value of a handwritten note. Tori, just make sure that you get the Betty White stamp now, because it's just going to... Yeah, it's just going to continue to engender
Betty
everyone.
White. Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
I love that the Children's Music Festival also is not just designed for any family, but at really any income level. Kids can come in for just $8.
Right. That's right. We try to keep the prices low.
Why? How can you do that?
We have gifts, donations that come in that support our programs. So we of the $14 million that's part of our budget, we raise a little more than half of that through donations. So ticket sales will account for about $4.2 million. We have the endowment draw that accounts for about $1.8 million. And then we have donations. So we're able to, because of the combination of the endowment draw and donations, we can keep those ticket prices at a reasonable level.
I mean, you can come with your child for $18, and you can experience the gift of, and they can put their hands on the equipment, and they can be part of the kazoo festival.
That's right, there's a kazoo band.
Oh my gosh. For $18.
I mean, this is less than the price of a movie. I don't want to knock the movies, but truly it's less
it
than
is.
The price
it's,
of
it's
a film.
It's a great opportunity for you to bond with your kids and have a great time with them before they become perhaps teenagers and don't want to come to the festival with you.
Did you say brats? Did you say perhaps teenagers?
Perhaps teenagers,
brats,
yes.
Teenagers?
Perhaps.
No, I did not say brats. How old are your children?
Beyond the brats. They're into the very bratty stage.
Young adulthood.
Young adulthood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have a program. Like, we do a movie series, mm-hmm. and kids love to come with their parents. So teenagers love when we're doing a Harry Potter movie, and they get to all dress up. So that's a different experience.
And I don't want to go beyond it, because Take Six is such a huge a cappella group, because they have performed and been praised by legends like Stevie Wonders and Ray Charles, mm-hmm. the late Ray Charles, for what they're able to do. Have you seen them before, and what do we feel when we see them?
I have. I was fortunate when I ran a performing arts center in Indiana. They are funny, exuberant. They bond with the audience, and they have these incredible voices. And I think you're going to hear a mix of blues and jazz and a cappella and contemporary music. And again, the audience is in for a very unique time. So we're encouraging people to come out, listen to Take Six. We embarked on the 75th anniversary wanting to create several specials. And this is one of those concerts. We opened the season with Mahler 2. That was a special. We did Violins of Hope, which was an incredible program. And we have Take Six and the Music Festival. Those two events sort of round out what we call the specials for the 75th anniversary season. And we've also commissioned a lot of original work that's part of the 75th.
What else are you looking forward to before the season does draw to a close? And it'll be here before we know it, but we don't want to go fast forward.
No, I know. I was on a call with my board chair as we were driving. We had the board meeting yesterday, but we still had things we had to talk about. Yeah. So we were at 7 a.m. talking about things. And we both said, oh, my God, there's only like 11 weeks left in the season, which is hard to believe. I'm sort of like a kid in the candy store, so I'm looking forward to everything that we have coming. I really am. From the classical side, we have Conrad Tau, who will be here next week. Conrad, as you know, is one of the world's great pianists, and we've commissioned him to create an original work for us that will be performed live on stage next weekend. And he's here for a whole week, so he's going to be meeting with donors. He's conducting a master class, and we like working with Conrad. He's been sort of a regular here. Mm-hmm. We like to say one of our donors discovered him in Vail and said, you need to bring him in, and so we listened, and we brought Conrad in. I'm looking forward to Conrad. I'm looking forward to how we're ending the season with another commission by Carlos Simon. Carlos was here yesterday working with the orchestra. So when we commission these works, in addition to performing the standards, which is very important, so you do Beethoven, but you also, and Mozart, and Mahler, and Bruckner, but it's very important that arts organizations breathe life into the artistic repertoire. And I often, people say, well, why? And I'll say, well, somebody commissioned Mozart to do something, and Beethoven and Brahms, they were all commissioned to do those works. At that time, it was royalty or the church. Well, we're now acting that way. We're commissioning works. This year, we're doing four. And it's important because our funders get to say, oh, I helped create that work that's now going to go out into the universe of music. And we are always then credited with doing the world premiere of the work.
Awesome.
That's really exciting.
What an exciting weekend, as Take Six is Saturday, Children's Music Festival is Sunday, and the 75th season of the Jacksonville Symphony continues. You can find more on these upcoming shows at jackssymphony.org. Stephen Libman, President and CEO of the Jacksonville Symphony. Appreciate you. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your season, too. All 11 weeks. Soak it up.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
It's 8:19 on the Thursday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.